This is the intro jingle. This is the K-pop Daebak Show with Eric Nam.
What's up, Daebak Show listeners? It's your boy. It's the man, the myth, and the legend himself. Yes, this is Eric Nam, and welcome to a very special episode of the Daebak Show. Why is it special? Because we have a very special guest. It is PH1, Mr. Harry Park. He's a good friend of mine. We actually go pretty far back, all the way to college. So we've known each other for quite some time, but he's here in Korea doing his thing, his hip-hop, the music, and doing, just killing it here. So we caught up in Hanamdong. We grabbed some coffee at this cafe called Cafe Berg, and we hung out, and we talked about life, music, and a bunch of other stuff. So this podcast, this episode is that conversation, and hope you guys really enjoy it. Get to know PH1 just a little bit better, and it just so happened that he's actually releasing music this week. So after this podcast, go ahead and go listen to his music, check it out, let him know that we sent you there. What else? And of course, as always, you guys, please go ahead, connect with us on our socials at Daebak Show and sign up for our super secretive, exclusive newsletter on daebakshow.com. Anyways, enjoy your week, your day, your whatever you are doing, wherever you are, and yeah, enjoy the show. Bye. Mr. Harry Park.
What's good?
Good to see you, dude.
Come on in.
Let's grab a drink. But how you been, dude?
I've been, you know, just working. Just doing shows. Just work on my next album or single, whatever.
Already?
Yeah.
You just put it out.
But you know, yeah. You always have to stack it up.
It's been what, like a month or two? Two months?
Almost 2 months, I think.
It still blows my mind though that like I am having a conversation with you here in Korea.
Yeah.
Because people don't really know this, but like, well, you had a complete different career before you moved out to Korea.
Mm.
And like, we went to college together, so like we've seen each other when I was much fatter and chubbier, because I was just drinking all the time.
Me too. Who wasn't?
You tell me a story. Like, you grew up here?
Up until sixth grade.
Sixth grade.
I was in Seoul.
You're in Seoul.
Yeah,
okay.
And then I moved. My family moved to the States. And
okay.
I grew up there. Middle school, high school, college.
Yeah.
Post grad,
yeah.
And then right. Here.
And then you're here.
It was tough in the beginning because, like, so between, amongst all my relatives, we were the only family that actually moved out to the States. So, like, we had no, like, connections. We had
no support.
No support.
Yeah.
So, you know, more specifically, my parents struggled more than me and my sister, you know what I mean? Because they had to, like, hustle. My dad had to do all these different things. Like, he used to work at a deli, at, like, some thrift shop.
Yeah.
He worked at 7-Eleven, like,
right.
It was crazy.
So, like, a lot of just side jobs, hustling.
Yeah, until they found a place. Now they're still working at a dry cleaner.
Okay. So, they've been working together?
Yeah, okay. For a while, yeah.
Man, yeah. That's, like, the quintessential immigrant story of, like, we're moving to the States for a better life for our kids.
Yeah,
right?
For better education,
right.
For better whatever. Yeah. That's why, that's more of a reason why, as the oldest son, I couldn't tell my parents, like, oh, I want to do music. I want to pursue music back in Korea,
right,
where we just came from. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
You guys gave up your career just to move to the States, but now I want to go back. Like,
right.
It doesn't make sense.
So. Dude, so this is, like, the craziest. It's like, every time I check in on you, so I'm in Korea. I'm like, yo, how you doing? And then you're like, yo, yeah, I'm, like, doing dentistry.
Every time we check it's, like, in, different.
I'm, like, coding. I'm like, what is this dude doing?
Yeah,
like, so, like, wait, what did you do? So you were at a dentist's office doing what?
You know, like, when you go to a dental office, there's not just the dentist, but there's somebody right next to them.
Right. Just, like, helping them with everything.
Right.
So doing that.
The assistant,
So you were assisting tearing people's mouths apart.
Right.
Dentistry scares the crap out of me, dude. So you're doing, like, my nightmare.
Right.
And then you're miserable, and then you're like, I'm going to go become a coder, a developer, so I can do something that's different from this thing.
Right.
And
it
then,
still kind of requires creative thought.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you got in touch with Show Me the Money?
No, like,
how
like,
did that happen?
So I was working as a developer.
Right.
And one day I woke up and I just, you know, checked my Instagram and I see Jay Park started following me. And I was like, what? What's going on? This must be like some fake account.
Right, right.
So
right.
I click and it's actually Jay Park. Yeah. So I was like, what's going on? You know, in my head, I'm like, what's going on? Right. So I DM him and I was like, why'd you follow me? And
what do you want, Jay Park?
Yeah, why did you follow me? And he's like, do I accidentally came across one of your music videos, which I shot with no budget at all with my friends. He's like, yo, your music is dope, and AMG is having a New York tour. You should come and see me.
Right.
But I couldn't go to see him because all the tickets were sold out, and back then I didn't want to feel like a scrub asking for free tickets. I was like, oh, okay. And then later he's like, why don't you come? I was like, oh, because it was sold out. I didn't want to ask for free tickets. I was trying to be polite. He's like, oh, okay. So when you visit Korea, hit me up.
So you're living in Korea by yourself. You've been here for like 2.5 years. What's that transition been like in Korea? Do you love it?
Yeah, some aspect. Yeah. Of living in Korea, I love it. Just the fact that I'm living the dream.
Right.
Is something that I love. Also, everything is very convenient here. It's very fun to be here. So that's something that I really love, you know, just to be around people that I used to watch through YouTube.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. In the
like
flesh.
Yourself too, or like any other artists. But something that I am still struggling with is like I'm still having some cultural differences. I feel
like what, for example,
just the way people think, maybe. I feel like the public view towards public figures or artists is a lot harsher here in Korea than in America. That's something that I'm always trying to like be super careful about. I don't know, and I feel like in Korea is more about following the trend or like following the standard set by the majority.
Right.
Whereas in America, I guess it's a little more individualistic. Like you have your own thing. If you like this, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I mean, you mind your own business, basically.
Does that, I mean, I'm sure it does. I completely agree and I completely see where you're coming from. And it affects my music.
Right.
Absolutely. 100% affects my music. Does that, do you feel like your music has been affected by that cultural difference?
I try my best not to let it change my music. And I don't think I've really been affected too much. But I do always think about that kind of stuff when I'm in the process of making music.
Right.
Like, for example, what kind of tune, what kind of chord progression would the Korean audience like?
Right.
You know, so sometimes I cater to a certain target audience when I'm writing a specific song. So some songs I write just in English because I feel like that song or that beat, whatever, is more catered to the American ears. Whereas some tunes that I make, I feel like the Korean people will love this.
Right.
Then I write more Korean lyrics.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So try to target my audience here and there.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's I mean, I'm the same. I felt like I went after trying to do the Korean sound for so long. And that's because everybody that I was surrounded by, they told me that was the answer. And that's what the label wants. That's what people want, to be safer in terms of investment. Whether we like it or not, from a company label perspective, our album, our music, our brand, our image, those are investments for them.
Right.
And so they were just like, we need you to do these Korean songs. And for a while, I was like, all right. And then it drove me crazy.
Right.
Like, I can't do this.
Right.
And
not because the song, like the Korean style is bad.
It's just not me.
Right. It's not you.
It's not me. Right. And I think people are like, you're just so American. I'm like, I mean, you could say it like it's a bad thing.
But you are
me,
American.
I'm American. Like, I grew up there for 20-something years. That's all I know.
Yeah.
And but I think in the past year or two, I've even gone even further to just be like,
Look, people in Korea, like, yeah, hip-hop, like, there were rappers around for maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
But hip-hop did not become hip-hop the way it is today
right.
until a few years ago.
Right.
To be honest,
yeah.
you know? It really came into its own thing. But I feel the same way about pop music for me.
Mm.
Like, I love just pop, feel-good yeah. pop. And they're like, oh, 맨날 it's always like, yo, 너무 세련됐어. 너무, it's too American, it's too white. But I'm like, yeah, but everybody here is listening to Maroon 5, Bruno Mars, Billie Eilish,
yeah,
and Ariana
right.
Grande.
Right.
You love that sound. That's been my thing. But what have, you know, outside of this maybe pressure or not, what have been some struggles or like good things about like the music that you've been working on? What's your biggest 고민, your biggest frustration or concern or?
I guess for me, part of the problem or part of the frustration is because I'm also from America, like not
right.
from the States. So a lot of times I use a lot of English in my lyrics, and I feel like sometimes that's not. Some people, even Jay Park, have told me, "Oh, you should write more in Korean."
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you're writing for the Korean audience,
uh-huh.
right? So, and I'm like, but this is me. Like, I
right.
even when I speak, I mix half Korean,
right.
half American. English. And I don't know. I guess that's my biggest concern when I'm writing something.
Mm.
Also, who am I really targeting? Like I said, like you said, I want to make songs that Korean people like, but also the American people like, or the international fans.
Right, right, right.
But that middle ground is kind of hard to find.
It's a right. weird line.
Yeah. So for me, if I want to financially succeed in Korea, I will have to make a song that's very Korean style.
Right.
But then that's not me.
Right.
And I don't want to do that.
Right.
But if I make something that's so American,
right.
Korean people are going to be like, oh,
what
we kind of don't understand
yeah.
this new type of style.
Right.
So I think that's why a lot of K-pop or like that are trying to make new styles or trying to bring new flavors struggle.
Right.
At least in the beginning.
I agree.
But over time, you know, people will start to like
appreciate that for what it is.
Right. But it'll take time.
Right.
And can you wait that long?
Right.
Yeah.
That's, I completely agree. And that's part of my thing with my music. That's why I do so much TV. That's why I do so much of everything else. Because.
To promote yourself?
Not even that. Like, you know, if I can't make big money doing the music I love,
wow,
then I
right,
gotta
right.
do other things so I can support myself.
Right.
So that's pretty much how I started interviewing people.
Mm.
It's like, I gotta just do a lot more stuff so I can like recoup.
Right.
And like
right.
get paid.
Right.
That kind of stuff. But it's a very real, I think any artist goes through that.
Right.
Any artist thinks like, this is my dopest jam. This is the most beautiful painting that I've ever done.
You know what's crazy though? Like, so people that are like, I'm just gonna talk about hip hop. So
yeah.
rappers that make super edgy sounds or whatever, super underground sound, whatever, for the real hip hop fans, they don't make a lot of money because it's not mainstream. The sound is not welcomed by the majority, right? So they don't make a lot of money, and they do that for like a couple of years, and they kind of give up, right? So they start making more mainstream sounds, and then people all of a sudden be like, oh, you're a sellout. You're a sellout. You should go back to whatever you were doing.
Right.
But I'm not going to buy your CD. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that's why people go and show me the money. Right.
What was show me like for you?
It was tough because I'm not a competitive person. I'm not a like aggressive like type of guy.
Yeah.
But then that environment is a competition from beginning to end.
Right.
And you're being judged by your art, like based on your art,
your creativity,
your performance.
Yeah.
And how are you gonna judge someone's art? Art is art, you know what I mean? In theory, it's like you can't put a score on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're on that show, you're given money, however much, based on how good your performance was.
Did they legit give you that money though?
No,
I mean,
if you win.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they rank you. So I was kind of stressed out, you know, mentally and physically too. But I only did it because, like you said, I needed myself, I needed to promote myself,
right,
to the public.
People need to know you.
Yeah. Before Show Me the Money, people knew me, but like only a small number of people knew me, or people that like hip hop knew me.
Right.
But like, if you were walking in the street and ask, oh, do you know who PH1 is? They probably, nine times out of 10, they probably said no.
Right.
That's why I went on Show Me the Money, because that show was hot, that show gets a lot of views.
Right.
And I had to take that chance, like, yeah. I did it mainly for my family too, because I'm the oldest son, and I know my parents don't think that I let them down, but I, in the back of my head, I kind of feel like I kind of disappointed them when I came here. You know what I mean? Which they're not disappointed at all, but that's what I think. I feel like I kind of gave up on what they wanted me to do to pursue what I wanted to do. So if I'm going to do that, then I got to show them that I'm doing well.
Right.
I'm going to pay back, you know, whatever they did for me.
Yeah.
That's why I guess it was like a more realistic decision,
right,
for me to go on that show.
Okay. Right. What do your parents think of it now? Like your me life and show. Your career? Oh.
No, they love it. I mean, yeah, they're very, very supportive.
They gotta be so proud.
Yeah, man. Like my mom, my dad, they watch all of my YouTube videos. Even the videos that I haven't even seen. Like,
I feel like your parents and my parents could have a powwow.
Yeah.
They could just do a YouTube binge.
Yo, they do your parents like send your YouTube links to the church Chief Settings?
Dude, my mom gave my number out to like all the kids at church. And I had all these kids hit me up on Kakao, and I was like, I don't know who you are. I was like, I go to your parents' church.
I know. Dude, when I visited New York a couple months ago, my mom was like, so, listen, the youth group kids at my church will really want to see you. So can you come as a guest on their Friday night service? I was like, what am I going to do? I'm all tatted up. Like, what am I supposed to say to them? Like, they're like, she was like, just be with them. They just want to see you.
Right.
So I went, took a picture with them.
How was that?
It was like kind of weird. But I mean, it was a very happy moment for me.
Right.
Yeah, to see my mom really proud. And,
right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let's talk a little bit about Higher. And Jay.
Yeah.
And outside looking in, like I don't have a. The one thing that I'm always like jealous of is, idol groups have their group, they have their crew, and that's their group, and they can get along, they can fight, whatever. And then what it looks like outside looking in, like hip hop people have their crews. For me as a solo artist, I don't have that.
By yourself.
I'm by myself, and I'm also like, if you think about solo male artists, there actually aren't that many.
Right.
Like singers,
right?
It's a lot. There's a lot of rappers and hip hop people now.
Mm.
But so looking in, it's like, oh, that's cool. Higher Music, you have your own crew.
Mm.
You got Sick K, you got Haomi,
yeah, Woody Go Child, G Soul,
yeah, all those people. What is it like being a part of what I still think is a brand new label, and like a new generation of young hip, you know, hip hop people coming up?
What was the question?
What is that like? Like,
oh, what is that dynamic
like? And like, who, like, what is that relationship like? Who are the people you're closest with?
I mean, Higher is definitely more of a very free kind of environment.
Mm-mm.
It's not like what you think is a big entertainment company would be like. It's just like a bunch of artists signed to the label, but it's basically the same thing, same life. Before getting signed, you just make your own music.
Mm-hmm.
You do whatever you want. You work with whoever you want, but just under Higher. And we work with each other. We help each other. We, you know, motivate and inspire each other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're all good friends. But everybody's so busy and hardworking.
Right.
So like, we don't really like, hang out, you know, most of the time. So it's not like we're like offline friends.
Right.
But we definitely like are close and tight when we're together, but it's not like, yo, let's meet up. Yeah, it's not like that kind of.
Okay.
Everybody's doing their own thing. Yeah.
So then who do you consider like friend, or like who do you spend time with?
Well, I consider everybody my friend, but the one person that I actually hang out in person and work with closely is Mokyo, this guy named Mokyo. He's a singer-songwriter, but also a producer.
Yeah, most of your newest album, it looked like, was produced by...
Yeah, or all of it.
All of it, okay. Okay.
Mokyo,
So y'all hanging out.
Yeah.
Y'all are eating jjajangmyeon.
Yeah, I don't know. Chicken.
Chicken, going to PC-bang. What's it like working with Jay, having him, he's like, what, technically CEO of Hire. What is it, who is he to you, and what is that relationship like?
Well, long story short, he's the guy that saved me from that miserable life that we talked about before,
right?
And he's the guy who was there when nobody else was there to give me a chance, and he saw a potential. And solely on that potential, he signed me. You know, I had nothing. No, I didn't look good. I didn't have an album. Nothing. But he just signed me because he saw potential in me. You know, and that's something that I can never pay back. So, and he's still working his ass off. You know,
dude, like, he works so hard.
And he signed to Roc Nation, and he's trying to break into the American market, and. It's just inspiring just to see somebody who's very established work that hard.
Right.
Harder than a lot of people here in America, in Korea.
I look at his socials and the stuff that he does. I'm just like, how does one man
do everything?
Do so much.
Yeah.
Like, I think I work hard, and then I see Jay, and I'm like, nah, I'm going to take that back. Let's talk about your album. Halo.
Home Alone Lights Out.
First of all, what does that mean to you? What does his album mean to you? What were you trying to get across to listeners?
So basically, Halo is my first Jeongyu album, which means first, I guess, official
full-length
album. So basically, I wanted it to really represent the type of music that I do. And I wanted to kind of solidify myself as an artist, you know? Because I've been rapping, I've been singing, whatever. But I wanted people to know, like, what sound does PH make? What genre is he? So I wanted this to really represent my sound, my style, who I am, and my identity as a person, too.
This album is about relationships.
Oh, yeah. Between people in general. Like, good relationships. Bad relationships, people that take advantage of you, people that'll make you pissed off, or people that will love you, just regardless of how, you know, how bad you think you are.
Unconditionally. Yeah.
Just all those type of feelings that I get, while living.
Right.
Right. And socializing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And me, the biggest identity, or a keyword that would describe me as homebody. I'm a big homebody. I never leave home if I don't have to. So that's what Halo means, like home alone, lights out means.
Right.
I'm staying home alone with the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And up until that album, I released three prior singles.
Mm-hmm.
And it all connects into one sentence. So it was Harry loves... staying home alone, lights out. So that sentence, describes my life, basically.
How long did it take you to put this album together?
Songs I wrote 2 years ago.
Oh, word.
Yeah, some songs I wrote like maybe a month before the album.
Do you have like a favorite? I mean, I hate this question, but I gotta ask you. Do you have like a favorite song?
Malibu. Yeah, that's one of the titles, double titles.
Right.
But that song is more like more hip hop, more jazzy guitar, more sexy, that type of thing. Because a lot of people see me as a very non-sexy type of person, you know, like someone who's like kind of like just soft. And I sing, you know, feel good music. So for me to really touch that type of genre is like kind of refreshing for me too.
So you have Malibu, and then there's Like Me.
Like Me.
Right. Yeah. And so those are double titles.
Yeah.
And like me is more about...
More about that unconditional love. Right. Like, why do you like me? You know what I mean? I'm such a bad person.
Right. Are you writing again right now? Or are you working on stuff right now?
I'm always writing when I have free time. Some songs don't ever, you know, make it
right
to the streaming.
But so many of those.
Yeah, a lot of these sketches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this should...
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. If you write it and then a couple days later, if you don't think about it, then it's probably not that good.
Right.
But if you keep thinking about it, then it's probably good.
Right.
Yeah. And I have a single coming up in the summer.
Uh-huh.
In July. It's a summer song. And then I'm also working on a collab album. With somebody. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
What are your, I mean, so you have music coming out, any other like big plans, anything that...
I mean, you know, I can't say right now, but hopefully within this year, I'm going to do my own concert.
Okay.
Well, in Korea first, and then I want to do Europe tour. Yeah. And then US next year, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. No, definitely next year. Yeah, US.
All right.
Yeah.
What is your definition of success? When will you be, A... This is too, maybe too big. Are you happy now?
Mm.
If not, when do you see yourself being like, I made it, I'm good, I don't need anything else.
Mm.
Anything above here is just bonus.
I am happy. I'm very happy. I don't consider myself to have made it yet. But my definition of success is like, if you can support yourself
mm-hmm.
and your family mm-hmm. without anything to worry about, doing what you love, that's success for me. And if you have people that you love around you that love you back, then that's success. I am capable of supporting myself and helping my family members, whatever, but I don't know how long this is gonna last.
Right.
This is not guaranteed right now. So until I get that point where everything's, I know for a fact for the next
whatever years
I'm good, you know, then I would have made it, but not yet. I'm still getting there.
Your biggest dream, is it that success, or do you have
just to have people that I love not worry about things? I want to take care of them.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you.
To you. We're going to get there. We're gonna get there.
You're already there.
I'm not there yet.
No?
We're gonna get there.
Okay. Soon. Hopefully.
Soon. We will. All right. So we're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna have some lightning round questions. All right. Shit. Just something easy.
Who came up with these questions?
I don't actually know.
Oh. Okay.
I'm very bad at this.
I'll try to. All
right. Ready?
Okay.
Who makes you laugh the most?
My dog.
Your dog. Okay. Who makes you cry? What song makes you cry every time?
I don't cry. Ever. I don't cry.
What song makes you emotional as food?
Listen by Beyonce.
Oh, damn. That's a good one. Right. Okay. Go-to meal on the road.
Subway.
What sandwich?
Italian BMT.
Okay, Ad, I can't knock you on that one. Favorite brand, fashion brand?
Stussy.
All right. Mm. You have to delete one app forever, Instagram or YouTube?
YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. Is this going on YouTube?
Probably. First artist you ever stand.
First artist?
Yeah.
First? Eminem.
Eminem.
Yes.
All right. Last person you texted.
You.
Okay. Person you'd ask. Person you'd marry right now if they asked.
Ariana Grande. If you're watching.
Yeah, send Ariana a message for us.
Hey. No. I know you're single right now, so.
Alright. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Yes?
What kind of ghosts?
Whatever your definition of ghosts.
There's different kinds of ghosts.
Please break down the different types of ghosts for me.
There's like Korean ghosts. There's like American ghosts.
There's Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah. No, I believe in like the spiritual beings.
Okay, spiritual beings.
Yeah.
What comes to mind when you think of your fans?
My song, Like Me.
Okay.
Why do you like me?
All right. Yeah. What is the color orange to you?
It's my brand.
Orange.
Orange.
You took over a yes. full color of the rainbow
right.
from the entire world
right.
to make it your brand.
Yeah.
And literally when I see orange, I think of PH1.
I know.
And I hate you for it.
I'm still waiting for that like orange Fanta PPL.
You'll get
or
there.
Like whatever.
You'll get there. And this is from the writers. Eric Nam is blank. Oh man. You don't have to answer it.
My inspiration.
Shut up.
Well, not the only inspiration, okay. but you definitely inspired me ever since you yeah, did that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think that pretty much wraps up the questions. Mm. We're just going to do, if you want to do a message to all the people, all your fans from all around the world.
Thank you for watching this video, first and foremost. I'm very happy to, you know, have this chance to really talk about my life to the international fans. Check out my latest album, Halo, if you haven't already. Stream it, share it. But most importantly, thank you for supporting my music. Thank you for supporting K-pop in general. Because, you know, it just means a lot to people like us. And sometimes I feel like you guys are underappreciated, but yeah, we're doing our best to show our appreciation. Thank you. And I'll have tours and shows to meet you guys.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Hi, bro. Yeah. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
Time. Have a good one.
You too.
Let's head out. Woo! Where are you headed?
Home.
This guy.
To see my puppy.
Homebody.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to? Here's what we love, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
This is Lauren.
And this is Alicia
from Deviant Women, the podcast that's unafraid to get down and dirty with the good, the bad, and everything in between.
Join us as we unpick the blurry zigzag of history and myth and the downright messy and misunderstood stories of femininity that we've been telling ourselves for centuries.
From hags to enchantresses,
gender-queering lady lovers,
to gin-swirling decadent bohemians,
and brilliant muses and killer queens.
So join us on
Deviant Women. The podcast.
Acast recommends.